بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه ثم ما بعد to proceed إن شاء الله this will be a lot of drawing because this part that we will be discussing is the part of محارم محرمية the women that are forbidden to marry and the men that are forbidden to marry. So I prefer that we actually draw this because that is how you will be able to remember. And this will take the whole class because this is a very important issue. Many people don't know who is forbidden to marry and who's not forbidden to marry. So certainly the problem in thinking that someone is not forbidden to marry when she is forbidden to marry is quite obvious. You marry her and this is like major trouble. And the problem in considering someone forbidden to marry when she is not forbidden to marry should be quite obvious also, because you will be dealing with her like a sister when she is not your sister. Or you're going to be dealing with her as a blood relative when she is not your blood relative. Blood relative that is forbidden to marry, because not all blood relatives are forbidden to marry. So we will use a square for the male and a circle for the female. And if we say, before we do this, we have certain we have different types of prohibition here, permanent and transient. So there are women that are permanently forbidden to marry, and there are women that are transiently forbidden to marry. And under the permanent, you will have four different types. Okay. Now, under the permanent, you will have four different reasons that will make a woman forbidden permanently to marry. The first one is the blood relationship. The second one is the in-law relationship. The third one is the breastfeeding or the milk relationship, the suckling. And the last one is the mutual, or let's say public imprecation. Public imprecation. And we will say what public imprecation is. The transient is the combination. Here it is co-wifery. And, co-wifery. Also here, it is the religion. You will not be able to marry someone who is, as a man, you're not going to be able to marry someone who is not Muslim, Christian, or Jew. As a woman, you're not going to be able to marry someone who is not Muslim. But as a man, I did tell you before that you... that this applies in certain cases when you can marry someone who is Christian or Jew. But now and here, you should not marry someone who is not Muslim, whether you are male or female. So it is this, and it is also the chastity. The correct position is that you can't marry a fornicatress unless she repents. And then the last one here would be the number, and here marriage. Number here, I mean by number what? If you're married to four people, then you're not going to be able to marry anyone until you divorce one of them, four women. You're not going to be able to marry a fifth until you divorce one of them. Not only until you divorce one of them, but until her period has ended. If one of them died, then then you can marry. But if you divorced one of them, you cannot marry another one until her period ends. Because So as long as she is in her period, she is your wife still. And marriage, you can't marry a woman who is married. So that this is all transient. Co-wifery is, and we will say why all of this is transient. But let's first go to, let's first discuss the permanent ones. Let's say that this is your father, and this is your mother, and your father and your mother had 4 kids. Let's say this is you, this is your sister, this is a brother, and this is another sister of yours. And then you had your own kids, and your kids had their own kids, and then your sister here had her own kids, and her kids had their own kids. Okay, so this is you, so that you don't get confused. Does it look like you? Okay, and your brother here had his own kids, and they had their own kids. Okay, and this is your mother, and she had, your mother, had a father and a mother. Okay? And, you know, they had, the father and the mother had not only your mother, but others as well. You know, here. And this is your father, and your father had a mother and a father, and they had your father, and they had other kids. Okay. And, okay, well, and this certainly here, you keep them going up like this, and here, let's do this here. These got married, and they give birth to a few kids. Okay. Okay, now who's going to come out and X the maharim here? Who's going to come out and X the one that are forbidden to marry permanently? Allah says, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتُكُمْ وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ وَعَمَّاتُكُمْ وَخَالَاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتُ الْأَخِي وَبَنَاتُ الْأُخْتِ. Those are the ones that are forbidden by blood relationship. Forbidden to you are ummahatukum, your mothers, banatukum, your daughters, akhawatukum, your sisters, wa banatul ammatukum, your aunts, your paternal aunts, wa khalatukum, your maternal aunts, wa banatul akh, your nieces, wa banatu your paternal, your brother's sister, daughters, your brother's daughters, وبنات الأخت, your sister's daughters. So these are the 7 types. Why? Because mothers, daughters, sisters, paternal aunts, maternal aunts, brothers, daughters, sisters, daughters. Seven types of women permanently forbidden for blood relationship. Okay, so let's start to X. Okay, where are you? You remember who you are here? That's you. And now, who's this one? You know, this one certainly is, yeah, that's your son. Don't worry about it. This one he cannot marry. She's your daughter. This one you cannot marry. She's the daughter of your son. She is still your daughter. And no matter how far down it goes, إذا كان لك عليها ولادة, if you gave birth to her or gave birth to someone who gave birth to her or gave birth to someone who gave birth to someone who gave birth to her, indefinitely, she is permanently forbidden. Okay, so those you cannot marry, those are your daughters, all of them. Whether they are daughters or granddaughters, they're your daughters. Okay, so now these are your daughters. Allah says, أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ, started with أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ, your mothers. Okay, so this is your mother. You can't marry her, right? Okay, grandmother, certainly you cannot marry her. She is your mother. كل من كانت لها عليك ولادة. Everyone that gave birth to you, or gave birth to someone who gave birth to you, or gave birth to someone who gave birth to someone who gave birth to someone who gave birth to you, etc. So she is not, she's forbidden. This one too is forbidden. Okay. Now, this is your paternal grandmother. She is forbidden. Okay. This is your great paternal grandmother. She is forbidden. So all of those are forbidden. Why? Because they are mothers. Because why? This is a mother. She gave birth to a man who gave birth to another man who gave birth to you. So she is a mother. So أمهاتكم وبناتكم. أمهاتكم وبناتكم الأصول والفروع من الإناث. So the ancestors and descendants, female ancestors and descendants. Now, who أمهاتكم وبناتكم وأخواتكم, your sisters. So she's forbidden. She's forbidden. محرم. محرمة. Okay, you know mahram comes from haram, and haram is like al-haram is the sacred precinct because it's sacred. Haram means forbidden, things that are haram, forbidden. That's mahram, that is harim also, which is they call harim. It is because of the sacredness of one's wives, etc. The harim al-bayt, the sacred area of the house, that is not, it's not the reception. Okay, so now, akhawat. And akhawat is a little easy, because ukht is ukht, because you can't go, it's just ukht. Now, what about this one here? What is this anyway? This is your cousin, right? Okay, is this maharim or not? No, she's not maharim. She's not maharim. You can marry her. And therefore, you treat her like a foreign woman. And that is something that is hard for many people to do. Your cousin is a foreign woman. You treat her like a foreign woman. Why does Islam consider the cousin to be not a mahram versus in other religions? You know, the issue of mahramiyya is, you know, we will talk about the justification and we'll see how everything is measured in Islam with great wisdom. In some cultures, in Judea, you know, the Judeo-Christian tradition, cousins are forbidden. In the oriental cultures, paternal cousins are forbidden. Like in, you know, the Far East, the paternal cousins are forbidden. Every woman that shares with you the same family name is forbidden. By the way, even if she's completely unrelated to you. According to some cultures, if she shares the same family name, but if she is much, much closer to you on the maternal side, but she does not share the same family name, she is not forbidden. So they just go by the family name. The cousin is someone that you would not be able to feel towards her like you feel towards your sister. And so, therefore, you either treat her, she's going to be either a sister or a foreign woman. So she has to go into one of these two categories. She has to join your daughter and your mother and your sister, or she has to be taken out, but she can't be on the border. It is obvious that she should be sent to the other side of the fence, not to the inner side of the fence, to the outer side of the fence. And for many, many obvious reasons, you will not be able to feel towards her like you feel towards your sister, your daughter, and your mother, because she lives in a separate home. You may see her every couple of months. You may see her once a year. You may not see her at all. Therefore, she should be sent to the other side. Now you can tell me, but consanguinity would result in certain diseases. Yes, that is one factor, but you know, the rulings are not about one factor. And the scholars even say it is recommended that you marry a foreign woman that is not related to you, that is not close to you. But you cannot say that this marriage is forbidden, because there are many other factors that would make this marriage an allowable marriage. So she is either foreign or she is mahram. And since she cannot be a full-blown mahram, she is foreign. She was made foreign. And it is quite obvious, if you think about it, that a cousin will not be able to feel towards her like you feel towards your sister, daughter, mother. Okay, so that is the cousin. And by the way, they agree that Ibrahim married his, whether Sarah was his sister or first cousin, that's a different story, but she was either... We know that she was a cousin. We know that she was not a sister. So the issue here is that these are not maharam, so we will not X them. Now, and certainly anything that goes here would not be X'd, right? Okay. So Allah said, أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ وَبَنَاتُكُمْ, your mothers, your daughters, وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ, your sisters, وَعَمَّاتُكُمْ, your paternal aunts. Where are your paternal aunts here? She is here. Where else are your paternal aunts here? No, that is your father here. Where we said paternal aunts. Paternal aunts. Huh? Where? Huh? This one here. You are right, absolutely right. The paternal aunt goes up all the way, which means any woman that is an aunt to you or one of your ancestors. Any woman that is an aunt, that is your direct aunt or the aunt of one of your ancestors. So your father's aunt is your aunt. Your grandfather's aunt is your aunt. And so on and so forth. Okay. So, okay, wait a second. Well, let's say they had here, these are, let's say that this is your grand, this is your great grandfather and great grandmother, right? So they give birth to a father here, to a man who gave birth to your mother. This man here has a sister. Is this sister forbidden? Yes. Yes. This is maternal because she is your mother's aunt. Okay. What about here? She is paternal. She is your grandfather's aunt. So that is too forbidden. That is forbidden as well. That is your grandfather here. She is his aunt. Let's include the maternal aunts now. So the maternal aunt would be this. She is a direct maternal aunt, khala. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is for us to understand the rights of our kin on us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-khalatu bimanzilati al-walida." Al-khalatu bimanzilati al-walida. The maternal aunt is a mother, is in the position of the mother. And in some reports, al-khalatu walida. The maternal aunt is a mother. And some of us are, you know, completely oblivious to those facts. So maybe you wouldn't talk to your aunt for years. She is a mother. And certainly the grandmother is a mother. The Quran did not even need to use a different name for her when it talked about the maharim, the women are forbidden to marry. It said, ummahatukum, because the grandmother is a mother. And the same applies to the ammu, which is the uncle, is a father. So maternal aunts, let's look for maternal aunts. Here. Huh? Yeah, no, but you can find the maternal one here. Because this is, who's this here? This is your grandmother. If your grandmother... This is your grandmother. Okay. Huh? If your grandmother had an aunt. Okay. This is your grandmother here. This is her father. And this is her mother here. This will be maternal aunt. Because she is the aunt of your grandmother. And certainly this one will be what? Will be a mother, because she is your great-grandmother. She is your father's mother's mother. Okay? So that is forbidden too. Okay. So paternal and maternal aunts, and as they go up, keep in mind, their kids are not forbidden. Their kids are not forbidden. Because the kid of your aunt, the child of your aunt, direct aunt, is not forbidden. Okay, that's your cousin. We'll talk about this. So now we are done with paternal and maternal aunts. So حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ, your mothers, وَبَنَاتُكُمْ, your daughters, وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ, your sisters, وَعَمَّاتُكُمْ, your paternal aunts, وَخَالَاتُكُمْ, your maternal aunts, up. وَبَنَاتُ الْأَخِ وَبَنَاتُ الْأُخْتِ, and your nieces, the daughters of your brothers, and your nieces, the daughters of your sisters. Okay, so that is where you are here. So now, this is your brother. So she is your niece here, daughter of your brother. And she is a grandniece here. That is also forbidden. This is your sister here, وَبَنَاتُ الْأُخْتِ. This is her daughter. She is forbidden. She is the daughter of your sister. And this is your grandniece from your sister. So she is also forbidden. So it ends up you have no one to marry here. No, you have the cousin here. And you have her daughter as well. So these are the seven... these are the seven permanently forbidden to marry through blood relationship. Seven permanently forbidden to marry through blood relationship. Okay. Now, the next is al-musahara, in-law or step relationship. Okay. Now, this is you here. And you had a son, and you had a daughter, and you had a mother, and a father. That is you. This line here, we will make it like this, because this one here is not your sister, she is your wife. Remember the last picture, we had the line straight and uninterrupted, because this says a relationship that is made. You made it. Musahara, in-law or step relationships. Okay, so this is your wife, and your wife also happened to have two parents as well. Not surprisingly. And she also had kids. Those kids are not your kids, by the way. She had them with some other man here. You know, the marriage to the divorcees and widows, although in the Bible it says that it is disgraceful to marry a divorcee or a widow, and not for the public, but for the priest, for al-kahin, and he would disgrace himself if he did. And in Islam, that they were actually competing to marry them, the divorcees and the widows. You know, all of the Prophet's wives were, except for Aisha. And Asma bint Umais was married to Ja'far, and after Ja'far was killed or died as a martyr, she got married to Abu Bakr, and after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu died, she got married to Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. So the divorcees and the widows, they were never treated unfairly in Islam, or there was no prejudice against them in Islam. Okay, so she got married. She had these kids from someone other than you. Now, your son got married as well. And your father got married to some lady, your grandfather. That is not your grandmother. some lady that is not your mother, I'm sorry. And here is your father. He also had two parents. And your grandfather got married to some lady after or before or with or, you know, your grandmother. And let's say that he got married here to someone, and she got married to someone, and so on. And let us say that they had, together they had, you know, a couple of kids here. Okay, so that is in-law and step relationship prohibition. That is tahrim bil-musahara, through marriage. Tahrim or prohibition through marriage. And if that is you, whom can you marry here? Or whom can you not marry here? Let's X out the ones that you cannot marry. Can you marry this one?
No.
Why can't you marry this one? Because Allah says, وَحَلَائِلُ أَبْنَائِكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ أَصْلَابِكُمْ. And then it says, you know, وَأُمَّهَاتُكُمْ الَّتِي أَرْضَعْنَكُمْ وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ مِنَ الرَّضَاعَةِ وَأُمَّهَاتُ نِسَائِكُمْ وربائبكم اللاتي في حجوركم من نسائكم اللاتي دخلتم بهن فإن لم تكونوا دخلتم بهن فلا جناح عليكم وحلائل أبنائكم الذين من أصلابكم وأن تجمعوا بين الأختين إلا ما قد سلف إن الله كان غفورا رحيما. So it says after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finished the ones that are prohibited through a blood relationship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the ones that are prohibited through breastfeeding briefly. And then Allah said, وَأُمَّهَاتُ نِسَائِكُمْ, and the mothers of your wives, وَرَبَائِبُكُمُ اللَّاتِي فِي حُجُورِكُمْ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمُ اللَّاتِي دَخَلْتُمْ بِهِنْ, and your stepdaughters, فِي حُجُورِكُمْ means that the ones that are in your laps, meaning that she grew up under your guardianship, under your care, in your laps. But this, according to the vast majority of the scholars, does not mean that if she does not grow up in your lap, she will not be forbidden. She is still forbidden, but Allah wants to tell them why I am prohibiting you from marrying the daughter of your wife, because, you know, she was like your daughter. She grew up in the same household, and you were taking care of her like you took care of your daughter. So she is forbidden for you to marry. So وَرَبَائِبُكُمْ, that is your فِي حُجُورِكُمْ نِسَائِكُمْ الَّتِي دَخَلْتُمْ بِهِنْ, that are born to the women, that would, your stepdaughters that are born to the women that with which you have consummated the marriage, with which that were wed to you, the women that were wed to you. وحلائل أبنائكم الذين من أصلابكم, and the wives of your own sons or descendants that have come out of your loins. Okay, so here this is حلائل أبنائكم, the wives of your sons. Okay, and if you have here, and he got married, and then he divorced his wife, you will not be able to marry her also, because he is your son. Your son, no matter how far down it goes. Allah said also, وَلَا تَنْكِحُوا مَا نَكْحَ أَبَاءُكُمْ مِنْ نِسَاءِ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفَ, and do not marry the women which your fathers had married, except that which happened in the past, which means here, including that which happened in the past, unless the marriage, you know, unless it, if we're talking about the sin, there is no sin because it happened in the past before they were told. But if we're talking about the permanency of those marriages, they were not allowed to keep those marriages. So if someone had converted to Islam with two sisters married as co-wives, he will have to choose one. And if he also had married the wife of his father, he will have to terminate it. Okay, so now your children and anyone that got married to your children, your ancestors and anyone that got, so this one you cannot marry, right? This one you cannot marry, right? Because she was married to your grandfather. And don't think that it is quite difficult, because, you know, sometimes when, you know, families, they have, sometimes you have an aunt that is 20 years younger than you, right?
Okay.
So, and remember, the Prophet ﷺ married Khadija, and she was 15 years his senior. So you can marry a woman that is a lot older than you, which should be still fine. What about this one? Can you marry this one? This one here. So this is... No, this is your father. This is your half-sister. This is a half-sister. No, because this is your father. This is your direct father. This is here a half-sister. What about this one here? Okay, can you marry your half-brother's wife? No? Well, when he's married to her, you can't. But after he divorces her, yes. Yes, so that will not be X'd out here. When he dies, or after he divorces her, yes, he can. Yes, he can. Huh? Stepsister. Stepsister is not a relative. Stepsister is not a relative. There is no blood. Yeah, and there is no reason for the prohibition at all. Like, if your mother married a man who has a daughter, is that daughter allowable for you to marry? Yes. 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 Yeah, she grew up together. That applies to the man, to the stepfather, because he was a caretaker. But what would make that woman all of a sudden a mahram for you? What would make her jump inside the fence? Your mother got married, you're 18, your mother got married to someone and you're 18, and that man has a woman, has a daughter who is 16. You are 24, and your mother got married to someone who had a daughter that is 21. What would make you feel towards her all of a sudden that she is a sister? Well, if you grew up together and you don't feel an attraction towards her, don't marry her. So, but then, don't marry her. But keep in mind that she is foreign. The fact that you're not marrying her, that's up to you. But is she like your sister? Can you be in seclusion with her? Can you travel with her? Can she uncover in front of you? No, no, no. Otherwise, you know what happens. You know, and this is not a statistics a lecture here. Otherwise, I would have brought you lots of statistics. So you're not getting married to anyone that is married to anyone that is a descendant or an ancestor of yours. Direct descendant or ancestor. Your uncle got married to someone. Your uncle is a different story. We're talking about direct ancestor. That's a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather, etc. Now, and a direct descendant, that's a son, a grandson, a great-grandson, etc. Any woman that is married to By the way, the woman will just switch this. Right? Switch it. It's very easy. She'll just switch it. It's just the opposite. So for, you know, for the woman, it's just the exact opposite. Her daughter was married to a man. That man is gone. You know, she can't marry him. Her mother was married to a man. That man is forbidden forever. If her mother was wed to that man. Okay. And we will talk about this just briefly here. We'll talk about the difference here. So now, this is your wife now. So we said that you're not going to be able to marry anyone that was married to any of your descendants or ancestors. Now this is your wife. This is her mother. Can you marry her? No. Because Allah said, وَأُمَّهَاتُ وَنِسَائِكُمْ أَلَّاتِي دَخَلْتُمْ بِهِنْ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُونُوا دَخَلْتُمْ بِهِنَّ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ. And the mothers of your wives with which you have consummated the marriage, or to whom you were wed, or that were wed to you. If you were not wed to them, then there is no harm in marrying their mothers. Like if you get contracted with a woman, and then before the consummation of marriage, before wedding, before you move in, you divorce. Can you marry the mother of that woman? Yes, you can. Wait a second. No. I'm sorry. Wait a second. That's the exact opposite. Wait. Rewind. وأمهات ونسائكم وربائبكم واللاتي في حجوركم من نسائكم التي دخلتم بهن فإن لم تكونوا دخلتم بهن فلا جناح عليكم. It is the exact opposite. It is your stepdaughter. You will be able to marry her if your contract with her mother was not consummated. Once you get contracted with a woman, her mother becomes immediately forbidden to you. But if you get contracted with a woman, her daughter becomes forbidden to you after you have consummated the marriage for three big reasons. Do you know why the difference between this and that? Three reasons. Justification. This is, by the way, like a perfect example for simplification and justification. Justification. Why is it that أمهات نسائكم, the mothers of your wives, will be forbidden immediately after the contract, and the daughters of your wives will only be forbidden after the consummation of the marriage? One, if you divorce the daughter and marry her mother, she will hold grudges against her mother for the rest of her life. If you divorce the mother and marry the mother is sacrificial. If her daughter will be happy with you, she will be fine. She doesn't care, you know, she would, you know, overcome her own emotions. And if her daughter is happy with you, she'll be fine. That is one reason. The other reason is, when you propose to a woman that's like a younger woman, you get contracted, and the period between the being contracted and consummating the marriage can last a little bit long, and then you go in and out of that house to make sure that you're buying stuff, you're getting ready. The period of preparedness for the wedding is usually longer. It's usually a more complex process between being contracted and getting wed. During that time, her mother will be in charge of lots of things, right? Because she will be looking after the procedures and the process and the what to buy and what not to buy, what to get. So then you need to sort of to be with her mother and alone sometimes and so on and so forth. But if you're getting married to a woman that already has children and the children are old enough to need to be separated from you, she has like a 15-year-old daughter, usually this marriage is not a marriage where it takes a long time for preparedness. This is a marriage where, you know, it's more practical marriage. You get married, you know. So the wedding takes place much faster, and you're not taking a long time getting things ready and getting the curtains and getting this and that. So that's another reason. And the third reason from the side of the man is that it is unlikely that he will divorce the woman and marry her mother. But it may be more likely that he will divorce her and marry her daughter. Right? For obvious reasons. That's from the side of the man. And the Sharia does not suppress the desires. The Sharia does not, it seeks to refine them, not to completely suffocate them. So these are the different reasons why, you know, the prohibition of the mother, of the prohibition of the wife's mother is immediate after the contract, even before the wedding or moving in or the consummation, whereas on the other side, it is only after the consummation. The other side is your wife's daughter. So this is your wife's daughter, you can't marry her. And this is your wife's mother, and you cannot marry her. So out of those four types that are prohibited because of marriage, in-law / step relationship, there is only one where the prohibition happens after the consummation, which is this one. Prohibition happens after consummation, this one. This one, which is your wife's mother, this one, which is your son's wife, and this one, which is your father's wife, all of them are forbidden immediately upon the contract. So these are the four types that will be prohibited permanently because of in-law / step relationship, marriage. Okay, now the third type is rada, which is breastfeeding. And يَحْرُمُ مِنَ الرَّضَاعَ مَا يَحْرُمُ مِنَ النَّسَبِ. The Prophet said, "The ones prohibited through blood, the ones prohibited through blood are also prohibited through breastfeeding or suckling. And that is when you get a chance to have those step relationships more solid by having the woman breastfeed the children. So those step brothers and sisters become brothers and sisters through breastfeeding, which will make them truly forbidden. Like your stepsister in this case will be, you know, if your mother breastfed her, she'll be truly forbidden. And that can be done even if the child is of older age, in the position that I believe to be stronger. Even if the child is older, the mother would extract the milk, put it in a cup, give it to the child, and the child can drink it. And then, and that's what I said when I was asked about this. And you know, when you had the sisters, when they had the war in Bosnia, and there were many, many kids that were brought here from Bosnia because they didn't have parents and so on, orphans. So instead of having them go to the churches, and the Muslims are usually sensitive about these issues, because of, you know, the difficulty growing up, what is going to happen with my daughters, you know, if I adopt it like a child, like a boy or something, and so on and so forth. So instead of leaving them to the churches, then it makes perfect sense that we take them and we breastfeed them, even if the child is 4 or 5 years of age, 7, 6, or whatever years of age. The mother will extract the milk. And you can do this now by medications and so on, even if she doesn't have a child. You can give her prolactin. You can give her prolactin, and she can extract the milk and then give it to the child, and then he will be her son. So breastfeeding is the other one. So now with breastfeeding as the third one, here is you. And this is your mother. This is your mother who breastfed you. And this is her husband. Okay? So she breastfed you. She is married to this man. She, remember, but breastfeeding, it goes from the mother. And so it is like nasab, but it is different from nasab. 2 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So this is the mother. So now. So this lady breastfed you. Remember, this is not your mother. This is your wet nurse. She breastfed you. Now, who's gonna be forbidden here? Her sister is your aunt, forbidden. Her mother is your mother, forbidden. She's your grandmother, forbidden. This is her daughter, by the way, forbidden. She is your sister. So, ummahatukum, just like nasab, blood relationship, ummahatukum wa banatukum, her, you know. Okay. How could it be your daughter through breastfeeding? How could it be your daughter through breastfeeding? This man, if she breastfed a woman, this man cannot marry that woman because she is the daughter of his wife. She's the daughter of his wife. Akhawatukum, your sisters from breastfeeding. This is your sister because even if she is not biologically this woman's daughter, if she is another woman that was breastfed by this woman, okay? Another woman, another girl that was not from this biological relationship, but this woman also breastfed her, then you cannot marry her sister. And here would be what? This one as well will be aunt, because that is your father now through breastfeeding. So this one, you can't marry her. This is a paternal aunt. This one, you can't marry. This is a maternal aunt. And nieces and daughters of your brothers and daughters of your sisters. This is a niece. You can't marry her. Right? This is your niece. And if there is a brother here, you can't marry this. She's the daughter of your brother from breastfeeding. Now, if your son, breastfeeds from this woman. Let me tell you this. If your son breastfeeds from this woman, do you have any trouble marrying that woman? No, you don't. You don't. You will have no trouble marrying that woman. Because the mother of your son through blood relationship has to be your wife, right? But in this case, it is different. If your son gets breastfeeds from that woman is not, you know, she can marry her in the future. If she gets divorced, then she's free to marry. The sister of your sister from breastfeeding may be allowable for you if she did not breastfeed from the same woman. That lady here breastfed from that woman from whom you breastfed. That lady here had a sister, but she did not breastfeed from that woman. That sister of your sister is okay for you to marry. Right? Because, like I said, with breastfeeding, the center is here, that woman. That lady has nothing to do with that woman.